Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back with you.
Oh, yeah. Good to be here on Sunday night talking about God's Word, and hope you all had a great Lord's Day and
amen.
Ready to listen to some Bible teaching. And last week we talked a little bit about sheep and shepherds and Jesus talking to Peter at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or as they called it in that passage, the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus told them three different times of take care of his lambs, take care of his sheep, tend to his sheep. And the metaphor of sheep is used, as you know, a lot in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
Because people are often compared to being like sheep. We're all sheep who've gone astray. And, you know, I've never been a shepherd, and I don't know much about sheep, but I know they kind of like wander around, and they all go wherever they want to go, and they're not very smart.
No.
And they'll go like down the side of a cliff, or they'll go, you know, where the wolf is, and maybe they don't. You know, they're just kind of oblivious to everything.
Yeah, they'll just wander around.
Eat grass. And that's why shepherds have kind of a hard job. Both real shepherds and shepherds of the Christian flock.
Yes.
It's kind of a hard job. And
it is.
Yeah, we're gonna go
on.
Yeah, it's a task. And for those of you that are pastors or in leadership position, you know what we're talking about. But we're going to kind of go on with that, and we're going to start in John chapter 10. So if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 10, we're going to have Stephen read verses 1 through 6 for starters. Now, if you're driving in your car, don't open your Bible while you're driving, either on your cell phone or your book or iPad or whatever.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Steve.
Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers.
I read six.
Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize that he was trying to what he was trying to tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, if you read kind of just above that at the very end of chapter 9, he's talking to Pharisees. There's always these pesky Pharisees that are following him around. And he uses this metaphor of the sheep, and it's kind of interesting because a sheepfold, we don't have much experience with a sheepfold, but a sheepfold is this fenced-in place where they kept the sheep at night. You always have to keep, if you don't want sheep to wander around, you got to keep them fenced in. Even during the night, they'll be like all over the place in the morning.
Yeah.
So they kept them in these fences, and in many places at that time, and probably still happens, there are still actually shepherds in the Middle East.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw some of them when we were visiting in Bethlehem, and out in the shepherd's field, there are actually still some shepherds with sheep. It was kind of cool. But in many places, they would keep sheep that belonged to different people in the same sheepfold, or sometimes all the sheep of a town would be in the same sheepfold. So the sheepfold was this place where they were kind of penned in at night. And interestingly, you know, he always uses in many of his teachings and parables and the more straightforward teachings like this one, he uses examples that people would understand. People in the area would know about.
Yeah, and they would know about a sheepfold. And
yeah, they know what a sheepfold was. They know what a gate was. They know what shepherds did.
They would understand it very well.
Yeah. So when he talked about, you know, fishing, and when he talked about the harvest is plentiful, I mean, they knew what all those things meant because they were, this was part of their day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. Like for us, we don't know what a sheepfold is.
Right.
I mean, you know, we kind of have to learn that.
Gotta look it up.
Yeah, we have to as we go along. But they knew what all these things were because he used practical examples. And he's talking to the Pharisees. And interestingly, you know, one of the things that the Pharisees always had in mind was they had the authority to teach. They had the authority as the spiritual leader, which technically they did.
And they'd let you know about it.
And they let you know about it. And they didn't think that Jesus had really any authority. They just thought he was kind of an interesting teacher.
Right.
And then as time went on, he got to be more and more annoying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gotten annoyed with John the Baptist when he called him a brood of vipers, but he was dead now. So,
yeah,
you know, then Jesus kind of comes along with us too. Later on, you know, they get mad at him too, but he's talking to them. They're the authority figures.
Right.
And he starts this, as you just read, he starts with amen, amen. Or some translations say, most assuredly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Hebrew language, which amen is a Hebrew word. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen,
brother.
Amen is a Hebrew word. Like, we think it's like means the prayer's over.
Yeah.
So when somebody says amen, everybody says, okay, good, prayer's over. But it actually, the root word means truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's saying is, listen, carefully, this is true what I'm going to tell you.
And if they say it twice,
yes,
the word twice, that means it's very important.
Yes.
Yeah.
This emphasizes it. And so what he's saying when he says amen, amen, is I'm going to tell you something true and you got to pay close attention. There's one way into the sheepfold. Now, you know, when we think about how Jesus taught, many times he taught about there's one way.
Right.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one mm-hmm. comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
He never said, you can come to the Father by me if you want, but if you go do this thing, that thing, or follow that guy, you can come to the Father too. But if you want to come with me, that's okay too.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
No.
He said, there's only one way, and that's through me. And if you come in a different way, that's what the thieves and the marauders and the, you know, the false leaders do.
Right.
You know, remember, he's talking to the leaders when he's saying this. He said, if you come in, anybody else who comes in a different way, it's unlawful. It's deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
The one who has the true authority comes in. And he comes in through the door because he has the authority to come through the door.
Yeah.
Because the one opens it for him who's his Father. He has the authority to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who tries to climb over the fence doesn't have the authority to be in there.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you alluded a little bit to what was happening before this passage, and that was obviously the man that was born blind, mm-hmm. and the Pharisees were, mm-hmm. you know, well, they were all caught up in, well, who sinned?
Yeah.
Because he was born blind.
Yes.
And when Jesus is talking to him, you know, he's saying that if you were to see, then if you were blind and you would have no sin. But since you're saying we see, their sin remains because they were really questioning, how did this happen?
And that didn't make them happy either.
No, no, that last line didn't make them too happy either. And, you know, if you think about it, there's a proper way to enter a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the owner of a house,
mm-hmm.
you have a key to your door. You come home, you put the key in the door, you open it, and you're allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
A thief and a robber is going to try and get through a window. They might try and break open the door,
yeah.
but they don't have a key.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus is alluding to.
Or a garage door
opener. there's a lot of different things nowadays that they didn't have back then. But this is what Jesus is starting to allude to, and they don't understand. They're not understanding what he's talking about
mm-hmm.
yet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So he comes in through the true door. He's the true shepherd. He's the one who has the authority to come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
He's going in. The one who's the shepherd, and we're going to get to that, how the sheep know him. The one who's the shepherd, the one who's going to take care of the sheep, he's going to go in. He's going in to do something good for the mm-hmm. sheep.
Right.
The thief, the marauder, the robber is not necessarily... it's not going in to do something good for the sheep.
Right.
He's going in with some kind of mischief, some kind of unlawful thing. He's going to steal them. He's going to do something bad. But he comes to do something good for the sheep. He's going to make sure that they're fed. He's going to take care of them. If a sheep is injured, he's going to help heal them. He's going to bind up their legs. You know, they used to bind up their legs if they hurt their legs. You know, you see pictures of Jesus carrying a lamb over his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a, you know, that was not just an artistic thing. They really did that.
Right.
If a sheep was hurt, they had to move them from one place to another. They would pick up lambs and carry them around. So they did something good for the sheep. And, you know, when you think about it, we were talking about how sheep are, they really need care. they don't really do well by themselves.
Right.
I mean, they can eat grass, but they're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get in physical danger.
Yeah.
They have a lot of predators. They have no defense.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about a sheep is it can't really defend itself.
Right.
Now, a ram, you know, at least has some horns.
Yeah.
But like the average, you know, sheep, ewes and lambs have absolutely no defense.
Yeah. They're a very mild and meek animal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about sheep, but I don't think they're going to run very fast either.
No, they don't run too fast.
I'm sure a wolf can outrun it.
Yeah, very, very easily.
Yeah. So if the wolf is coming by and he sees some lambs, he's thinking dinner.
Dinner, exactly.
And the lambs don't have the power to defend themselves or run away.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need the help of people, just like we need him to help us.
Yeah.
You know, you have to put yourself in the position of the sheep.
Yeah.
We're wandering around. We're in the sheepfold. Then we get out of the sheepfold. We're wandering around, eating, getting into trouble. We really need the creator, the true good shepherd.
Right.
To take care of us as we wander around.
Yeah. Cause left to our own devices, you know, we're generally left to our own devices. We will fall astray, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to say all the time, but most of the time.
Yeah. And then again, when, back to the example of the sheepfold, when the shepherd goes into the door, the sheep know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are sheep that have been out in the fields with this guy, out in the pastures with this guy. Maybe he's chased away enemies, predators.
Mm-hmm.
He's gathered up sheep. He's helped them. He's fed them. He's watered them. They know who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, most animals will get to know their human companion after a while.
Right.
Not just dogs and cats.
Right.
You know, he knows them because he knows he's got 100 sheep, and they may not all have names, but he knows who they all are, and they know him. And mm-hmm. as he says there, they hear his voice.
Yeah.
So when he speaks, they know that he's speaking. You know, when you know Jesus as your Savior, when he speaks, you hear his voice.
Yeah.
When you don't know that, you know, he can be talking all around you, and you're not receptive. It's like your radio receiver's at a different frequency.
And that's exactly what the Pharisees are experiencing. They're not recognizing the voice of the shepherd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the sheep know. And, you know, he calls them by name because they're his.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who they are.
Right.
And they hear his voice. So when he says, come on, Joe, Joe hears his voice and says, okay, here I come.
Yeah.
When it said, okay, come on, Sally. When he says, come on, Sally, sheep Sally hears his voice and says, okay, here I come, because they know who he is.
Yeah.
The shepherd, and he's the good shepherd. And then it says he leads them out, which is kind of neat. He doesn't go there with that thing that, what do you call that thing they carry, you know, a staff with a hook on the end, whatever that's called. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go in there and like swing that thing around and say, okay, everybody out through the door. Come on, let's go.
he doesn't.
You know, it says that he leads them out, which is kind of neat. They hear his voice. He says, come on. And they follow him out through the door.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't drive them out. He doesn't herd them out. And they follow him.
Right.
Which is neat.
Because they recognize his voice.
Yeah. So if he's taking them to where the water is or taking them out to the pasture, they follow him. But one of these false people come, a false teacher, one of these marauders or robbers or whatever it is, they don't know his voice. So when he says, okay, come on, sheep, we're going to go now, they go, who's that? It's we're not going with him.
See, this was the first version of voice recognition software.
That's right.
Kind of like that.
With sheep.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So we got to bring it up to date a little bit.
Yes.
Jesus
was way ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time.
So... See, if if they know him, they follow him. Mm-hmm. When the stranger comes in and says, okay, sheep, let's go,
right,
they sense that they're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it says something there that like that.
They, you know, they won't follow the stranger. They will run away from him.
Yes.
Because they don't recognize the voices of strangers.
Right. They'll flee. Because they don't, they'll know that there may be some danger with this.
Right.
And so he's going to call himself the good shepherd in a few more verses, but I think you're starting to get kind of what the idea is here.
Mm-hmm.
That he walks in and says, come on, come with me. And those of us who are with him, where we know him as our shepherd, are going to follow.
And it's the same when he first started calling the disciples, his 12 apostles, to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
He called them.
Yeah.
They heard his voice and they followed.
Yeah.
And so there's a great similarity to what Jesus did when he first called the 12 disciples, the mm-hmm. 12 apostles, to follow him. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was neat that he just calls them and they follow him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, that's a model of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're his followers, but if left to our own devices, you know, we go wandering off like sheep, you know, what's that verse say? All of us like sheep had gone our own way, gone astray.
Yeah.
But he says, okay, come with me. We're going to get the pasture now. They follow him out of the sheepfold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the sheepfold, you can look at it too as, you know, the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah, the church, you know, are the sheep that are in the thing.
Right.
And so we know if you're in the body of Christ, you know his voice.
Yes.
And you know that he's the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the enemy wants to go in there to disrupt the sheep.
Yes.
Well, wolf wants to go in there and eat the sheep. You know, dishonest.
Most assuredly.
Yeah. Like dishonest people want to go in and do false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go in and cause trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Satan talking to Eve, although we weren't talking about sheep then, but the same idea. Well, what do you mean you can't eat this fruit?
Surely, you know, surely you won't die.
Yeah, come on. That shepherd, you know, that shepherd, he's taking you to pastures and stuff, but I got a better pasture if you want to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the wolves want to get in.
Yeah.
The false teachers want to get in. The demons want to get in.
And they come in sheep clothes. And they come in disguised as a sheep.
Yes. Matthew 7:15, Jesus says the false prophets, he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And we have that term in our common language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody comes and they sound real nice and they look good and you say, wow, this guy's really cool.
Yeah.
I really like this guy. Then you find out he's a wolf after you've already gone with him for a while.
Yeah. After you're way down the road.
Yeah. And so he was, you know, he was really trying to show these people that the people that are his followers, the sheep that are his followers, are going to know him.
Yeah.
And what he's going to do with them, is, of course, prophesied in the Old Testament, like everything is. In Exodus 34:14, he says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God.
Ooh.
Wow. So he's going to feed them. He's going to give them rest. He's going to protect them. And so everything is kind of like, you know, the basic functions of the shepherd, he's going to do with us. And in Micah 2:12, he says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture.
Wow.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So that's what the good shepherd's going to do with the sheep that are in the sheepfold.
Yeah.
Woo. Uh-oh. Is that Paul Wilbur?
Yes.
It is.
But he's not here.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and
Facebook.
Go on Facebook and search for Gift of Grace and leave us a couple of comments. We'll be right back. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the Lord.
the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Wash us with the spirit of learning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. Then everyone who's left inside will be called holy forever. The mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Rise and shake the earth so mightily, send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain, come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day, flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade, shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, then the flood is a fire.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace. We're going to go back to our lesson, but first Steve has an announcement.
We are going to have a prayer and worship gathering on Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m. at the Willoughby Hills Community Center. That's 35400 Chardon Road in Willoughby Hills, Ohio, 44094. This event is being co-sponsored by Willow Praise Church, Pastor Larry Bogenriff, and the Worldwide Great Commission Fellowship, Pastor Melinda Bauman. It's basically a gathering that's open to everyone to attend who hungers for revival and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and just to be unified in our praise and worship for God and for the body of Christ. So again, that is a prayer and worship gathering on Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m. at the Willoughby Hills Community Center. located at 35400 Chardon Road, Willoughby Hills, Ohio, zip code 44094. And we'll have this up on the Gift of Grace Ministries website on the ministry page. So if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, click on the ministry page and you'll find the information there.
Great. Thank you. You can also send us emails on that site.
My wife and I are going to be leading worship, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if you want to hear Steve play some awesome music, you have to go to that.
We'll play your favorite Paul Wilbur song.
Is Paul Wilbur going to be there? No.
No.
Anyway, back to the lesson.
It would be nice.
It would be nice. So anyway, that was good. We're talking about shepherds and sheepfolds and, you know, all the kind of stuff that you all know about in your day-to-day life.
Yes.
But you get the general idea because, of course, these teachings are timeless. You don't have to know anything about sheepfolds to know what's going on here. And basically, you know, in churches and congregations, you know, you have kind of the same idea, you know, the pastor, the leader, whatever you call them in your particular denomination, whether it's pastor, priest, messianic rabbi, whatever it is, is the shepherd of that congregation. And, you know, they're supposed to know the sheep. The sheep are supposed to know their voice.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to follow him. And, you know, it's they have to know that he's there to take care of them for their well-being, to lead them into truth, to teach them the truths of the Lord and, you know, for their spiritual benefit.
Right.
And so, you know, all these lessons are timeless, of course. And in verse 6, what Steve just read, it's a typical picture here of Pharisees in particular and human beings in general. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Yeah. They're like, what's he talking about, sheep?
Yeah.
Like prodigal son. What's he talking about, prodigal son? I mean, they just didn't get it because this word doesn't penetrate them. The authority of this word doesn't penetrate them. So, you know, it was prophesied in Isaiah that they're not going to get it when the Messiah talks of parables and comparisons and metaphors. They're just happy and conceited in their own knowledge. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to know, what's this guy talking about, sheepfolds and shepherds? Yeah. We're the guys in charge here.
Yeah.
We don't know who this guy is.
And now, if we go back into chapter 9, the Pharisees are questioning him. They question this man born blind once about how this happened. And we'll pick this up from, like, verse 23. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, question him. So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, referring to Jesus. He replied, the blind man, who can now see, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I'm sure at that point they were probably getting a little irritated with this. So they ridiculed him and said, you are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to him, or said to them, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. And then they replied to him and said, you were born totally in sin and you are trying to teach us. And they threw him out. So
yeah, so these are the same guys that don't get what Jesus is talking about. Yeah.
So
they are... they are totally full of their own holiness and their own knowledge, and because they have the authority, you know.
And see, this is the danger where, this is the danger, I think, that anybody that's in leadership, no matter what church, no matter what denomination, or what level of leadership you are placed at, it can be, it's a great privilege to be a leader. And you have to have wisdom. And really wisdom from the Lord to be a leader, because right here is such a perfect example of this man is telling them, and they're like, you're teaching us?
Right.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Just like when Peter and John were there and they said, who are these guys? They're not even educated.
Yeah.
What are you talking to us for?
Yeah. So it is very important that as a leader, as someone who is called to a position of authority or to shepherd people, that there's a lot of wisdom that is needed to just, you know, to step back sometimes and to really assess what is going on here.
Yeah.
Is this from the Lord or is it not? And not to make a rash judgment on some things sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really to pray about it. And because if it's from God, it'll stay. If it's if it's not, you'll see the fruit that it bears.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. You'll discern it, but you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, verse 6, they didn't understand what he's talked on.
No.
But now, you know, starting at, Steve, why don't you read 7 through 10?
Okay. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came are thieves and robbers. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come into and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Wow.
That's awesome. So Jesus is ready to explain what he just said.
Yes.
He did this teaching in a way that was metaphorical. And then John, who happened to write this, said, these guys didn't have a clue what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So then Jesus explains it. He's always ready to explain what his teachings mean.
Yes.
And I should add, you know, in the book of John, you know, the book of the Gospel of John is so cool because it's, you know, signs and wonders and he has all these I am statements. You know, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the door. You know, so you see these I am statements, which are really cool. But anyway, so now he explains that he's the door. He's the shepherd. He has the authority. He is the only way. And salvation is through this door. He's the communication between God and the church.
Yes.
You know, he's the communication with the sheep. He's the way, capital W, into the kingdom. So he says, okay, let me explain this to you guys. I'm the way. I'm the door.
Yeah.
This is how you get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And those who pretend to be shepherds, the false teachers, the ones that the sheep don't hear, they're just thieves and marauders. They don't want to make disciples. They want to steal. They want to kill. They want to do bad things. I'm here for salvation.
Yeah.
The false teachers want to do bad things.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he was including the Pharisees in this too, but I mean, this was a pretty poignant thing.
Yeah.
Because the people that are, like you just read, the Pharisees, they don't want to be his disciples.
No.
Because when this guy says, hey, do you want to be his disciples too? They go, hey, listen, dude, do you know who we are? We're the holy guys with all the cool stuff on.
Yeah.
We don't follow this guy. We don't even know who he is.
We know who Moses is.
We know who Moses is, but we don't follow this guy. And you know, they were there with all their knowledge and all their legalism, and they did have legal authority. But they had it in a way that was rigid.
Right. And that's why, Jesus would tell them that, you know, he would tell them, look, you're laying burdens upon people.
Yes.
That are too heavy to carry. You don't lift a finger to help them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
You know.
Too. Yeah. And, you know, in verse 9, where it says, you enter by me, you know, the Greek translation there actually means through me, like through the door. He's talking about, I'm the door. You know, he's the door to salvation. He's the door to the kingdom. So this is the instruction for them of this is how you get into the kingdom. This is what salvation is. This is what the sheep have to do. They have to go through me because I'm the door.
Yeah.
They all knew there was a door to the sheepfold. Now he's saying, I'm the door.
Yeah.
I'm the one who has the authority to be the door. So if you come to him by faith, you enter that door through him. Because the Greek preposition actually means through me.
Yeah.
Which is really neat, because he's the way in. This is the new covenant.
Yes.
This is the new covenant through him, not through the laws of Moses, not through, you know, those guys knew Moses and they knew all the things that came from Moses. But now he says the way into the new covenant is through me.
Yeah.
I'm the door. And they go, the sheep are going to be able to go in and out through him.
Yeah.
He's the door, plus he's the shepherd.
And find pasture.
And find pasture.
And, you know, when he talks about, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
You know, that they would have life and more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the Lord is referring to here is when Pentecost happens and mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit falls upon the disciples.
Yeah.
It's the fullness of
yeah.
what it would be to be in Messiah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's very good, because when you have, when he says you can have it, you can have life and have it more abundantly, it's, you're going to have more life than you can expect. This is going to be
yeah.
way better than what the law of Moses promised you.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked of quite a few shows about how the law didn't have a remedy for things.
Right.
It couldn't change you. It couldn't change
right.
your conscience, your heart. It couldn't transform you.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed you what you were. But now he says you're going to have abundant life. It's going to be way more than the law of Moses could have promised.
Yeah.
It's going to be way more even than you expected that you were going to have by doing all the works, by being good. You're going to have this eternal life. You're going to have fountains of living water. You're going to have rivers of living water.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have this awesome life now if you follow me as the shepherd.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give you life more abundantly. When these false teachers are trying to jump over the fence, they don't care about your life.
Yeah.
They just want to destroy you. But I'm here so you can have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the passage that he says before that, you know, whoever enters through will be saved. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happens
mm-hmm.
when somebody comes in who is not preaching the truth of God,
mm-hmm.
who has their own agenda
mm-hmm.
and their own, well, they're not following yeah. God's voice.
Exactly.
Because if you have your own agenda and you're not really there to serve the Lord.
Yes. They want to disrupt the sheep. They have an agenda that's contrary to his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, the dark kingdom, the demonic kingdom, wants to take the sheep in a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want the sheep going with him.
Right. They want to, the enemy comes to steer us away from the light.
Exactly.
Away from the truth.
Exactly. And he's, you know, this abundant life, it's going to be even more than the Garden of Eden was. Like Adam and Eve had a nice place.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was nice. So these guys might have been thinking back saying, wow, you know, Adam and Eve really had it nice. What we're going to have following Christ is going to be way cooler than that.
Yeah.
Because he's going to bring this abundant life that they, at this point, can't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees that were listening to this certainly didn't understand it.
No. No.
And, he explains it to them. You know, this is a pretty hard-hitting explanation. And, you know, when he says he's the shepherd, you know, in Isaiah 40, starting at verse 11, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the Old Testament, there's this prophecy of Messiah is going to be a shepherd. You know, the people are described as sheep. He's described as the shepherd who cares for the sheep, tends the sheep, gives them pasture. They're going to lie down and rest while mm-hmm. the shepherd kind of watches over them. You have Psalm 23, you know, which is kind of like, okay, he's watching over. He's done all this stuff for us. And
in verdant pastures, he gives me repose.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting is there in Isaiah, when you read that, is that it says, he will give care to the young.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't think of ourselves, a grown person doesn't necessarily think of themselves as a young person,
mm-hmm.
or I should say that they're a child.
Yeah.
But spiritually, when we come to the Lord, we are infants.
Yes, exactly.
We are newborn or reborn into the newness of, in the life of Christ,
yeah.
into the kingdom of God. And the Lord wants to take us by the hand. He wants us to follow his voice, and he wants to lead us to those rivers of living water, to the abundant, to that pasture where we can go and just be fed by him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great analogy, a great metaphor, whatever it is. I don't know all those terms, but it's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
But it's consistent in the Old Testament as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Speaking of the Old Testament,
somebody's got a shofar in the studio.
Is Abraham here?
No,
exactly.
Wow. We're already to the second break. Anyway, remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can go into the contact, whatever it is, heading, and you can send us an email. You can go to Facebook and find us and send us a message, and we'd like to hear from you. So we'll be right back in a minute.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the last segment. And before we finish up the segment, we're going to have Stephen read. Do that announcement we heard a little while ago.
Okay, we want to remind you that on Friday, May 4th, there'll be a prayer and worship gathering at 7 p.m. at the Willoughby Hills Community Center located at 35400 Chardon Road in Willoughby Hills, Ohio. The zip code is 44094. It's hosted by Willow Praise Church and Worldwide Great Commission Fellowship. Please go to the website, www.giftofgraceministries.org, and it'll be on our ministry page. Mm-hmm. Again, that's Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m., and myself and my wife, Sandy, will be leading worship, and we'll have a great time in the Lord's presence.
Yeah, so come out and see Steve and Sandy.
Okay.
Anyway, it'll be awesome. So we're in the last few minutes. I can't believe it.
Time
wow, talk about
so
sheep
fast.
And shepherd and sheepfolds and... Jesus uses this analogy of the shepherd a lot, and we were mentioning before the break, it's even mentioned in the Old Testament. We had a few readings, and there's another one in Exodus 34 that says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them.
Woo. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
And later on it says, David, my servant, will be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd.
Wow.
That's pretty neat, too.
That is. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Jesus, of course, is the son of David. And so God has made Jesus the shepherd. You know, the plan of salvation was from before the creation of the world.
Yeah.
And all this was worked out long before there was anything here. And so Jesus has become the shepherd, the good shepherd of the fold. And we have to keep in mind, too, that because sheep stray, they have the whole... You know, idea of the stray sheep, the stray lamb, and it's yeah. very easy for a certain number of sheep to follow false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the true shepherd has to guard against that.
Yeah.
And it's very, our human nature is such that we tend to say, well, this guy sounds kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing I was doing over here before wasn't really quite as interesting as this.
Yeah.
And you may not realize for quite a long time that you've been taken astray.
Yeah.
And the sheep's kind of going over the cliff or the wolf's got them or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And, they come to do harm, whereas he comes to lead them to pastures and to water.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we were looking at, verse 11 is, I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not the shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away and the wolf catches and scatters them.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're starting to talk about people being led astray, you know, is that shepherd willing to stay there
yes.
and help the sheep?
Yeah.
Is he willing
right.
to help the people in the community that he's in?
Yeah.
And it's a, even if we don't have a sheepfold, even if we don't have a congregation to lead,
mm-hmm.
We still have people mm-hmm. that God places on our path every day
mm-hmm.
to be a witness to him and to point them to the light, to point them to the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
So it's a far-reaching call.
Yeah.
It's a far-reaching call.
And this hireling that he talks about, the hirelings, They can pass as a shepherd. I mean, they can dress up like a shepherd.
No.
And they can,
assuredly.
They can carry one of the thingamabobbers.
The shepherd's crook.
The crook. Yep. That's what it is. I couldn't think of the word.
Crook and staff.
Yeah. So, but he doesn't really care about the sheep. He just wants to keep the sheep away from the true shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says, when the wolf comes, the hireling's going to run off because he doesn't really care about the sheep.
Yeah.
But the good shepherd cares about the sheep because he knows the sheep and they know him. In fact, John, who of course wrote this gospel and also wrote the three epistles,
mm-hmm.
says he knew and loved us long before we knew and loved him.
Exactly.
We love him because he loved us.
Yeah.
We don't go around saying, I really love God, really love God, really love God. We love God because he loved us first.
He loved us first, and he proved his love for us by laying his life down.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here.
Exactly.
A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Yeah, exactly. Because he knows them, and they hear his voice, and they follow. And at the end of that passage too, you know, it talks about other sheep, you know, and in the Mormon church, I think that he's talking about American Indians or, you know, some mm-hmm. other kind of people, but actually he's talking about his Gentiles.
Yeah.
You know, the Jews, of course, are the people of the covenant. And he says, you know, I got other sheep too.
Yes.
And, you know, we of course are those other sheep, and we are very happy to be in the kingdom, although yeah. we weren't covenant people at the time. We're very happy to be in the kingdom now and to be grafted in. But the plan of salvation is going to be, of course, a worldwide plan. It's going to include every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Yeah.
Not just the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be shepherd of everyone.
Everyone. Yeah.
He's not going to be shepherd just of Israel. He's not going to be shepherd of just those guys. He's going to be shepherd of everyone.
Yeah. You're referring to John 10.
Yeah.
Verse 16, where he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold.
Mm-hmm.
These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying there's going to be one flock and one shepherd.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, well, we got this flock over here. We got the flock of the of Israel, and then the flock of the Gentiles.
Right.
It's one flock.
That's right. One flock.
And it's interesting the way you were describing it earlier, where you said, you know, the sheepfold is where sheep, there would mm-hmm. be different sheep there,
mm-hmm.
not just from one mm-hmm. shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And here again, and then Jesus is confirming that here in verse 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
You know, yeah, it is.
In Ephesians 2:14, you know, he breaks down the wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile.
Yes.
So we're one flock.
And one fold. And one shepherd.
End of the show. I can't believe it.
It's a good place to end.
Wow. It is a good place to end, actually. Kind of ties that up.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's been great being with you. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we'll continue this conversation about the shepherd and the sheepfold. And, we pray that you have an awesome week and be led out into the pastures by the Lord.
Woo.
Amen. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.